Hey, welcome back to the LifePoint DriveCast. This is Paul from Marion, and as always, thanks so much for joining us here on the DriveCast today. This week, we're looking at the life of James through a somewhat unique perspective as we prepare to study the letter of James and thinking through his experience in many ways and thinking through his perspective. What has always been amazing to me with James is his apparent disbelief prior to the crucifixion of Jesus and then his radical conversion and transformation after the resurrection of Jesus. If you can go from denying who Jesus is to then referring to your brother as God, that says a lot. That says a lot. And so today we're going to look in John chapter 7 and verses 1 through 9. I'm going to read the passage for us and just want to remind you there's always devotional content in the LifePoint Ohio app. And today's devotional content takes a creative approach in imagining the experience of James. But John 7, 1 through 9 says this: "After this, Jesus went about Galilee. He would not go about in Judea because the Jews were seeking to kill him. Now the Jews' feast of booths was at hand, so his brothers said to him, 'Leave here and go to Judea, that your disciples also may see the works you are doing. For no one works in secret if he seeks to be known openly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world.' For not even his brothers believed in him. And Jesus said to them, 'My time has not yet come, but your time is always here. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify about it that its works are evil. You go up to the feast. I am not going up to the feast, for my time is not yet fully come.' After saying this, he remained in Galilee." So his brothers are essentially communicating the expectation that, look, if you are who you say you are, you should desire, seek, and create a large platform to be very publicly known, and you should do that now. And because you're not doing that now, we therefore don't believe that you really are who you say you are. And in this, it is always good to be reminded and checked. Do I have faulty, personally made expectations of Jesus? Is Jesus not then therefore meeting those expectations because they aren't right in the first place? And then what is my response to Jesus as a result of him not meeting my faulty expectations? According to this, for James, it was disbelief, which again makes his conversion all the more incredible. And then I think for us, we have to go through the process of asking, is there part of me where I'm disappointed in you, Jesus? Maybe I've been praying for something for a long time and it hasn't been answered in the way in which I've been praying. I've been seeking and asking and knocking and it feels like the door is still closed. And I think theologically then we have to ask, what is really the promise of God? And how do we navigate that? You know, I was talking to somebody just this past week about that dynamic, saying, you know, we're told to pray boldly. We're encouraged to approach the throne of grace with confidence. We're encouraged to ask and seek and knock and all these things. And yet I feel like I'm doing those and God isn't answering my prayers. And how many of us have felt that way? And in this moment, you know, James is feeling that way. I thought this is who you were, Jesus, according to the scriptures. And we need to find then the balance that he gives things according to his will. And that importantly, there is always a larger, grander perspective. Jesus here in this passage says, it's not my time. My time has not yet come, he says in verse 6. And I think we need to remember that as it relates to the promises of God. Perhaps it's just not yet time. It's not Jesus's timing, it's our timing. And because we often operate on our timing, the result becomes frustration, even anger, resentment toward Christ, and perhaps even disbelief. And so if you find yourself in that situation right now, I want to encourage you to ask, do I have a faulty expectation of Jesus that's maybe based off of something I've made up entirely? Or maybe I'm seeking my timeline and not his. And Holy Spirit, then would you give me the ability to surrender to your timeline, trusting that it's better, that you're good ultimately, Lord, and you prove that goodness by dying and living yet again, and taking the penalty for my sins. And so you prove that you do have my best interests in mind. And so while I need to pray boldly and confidently, I also need to trust in your ultimate sovereignty and your ultimate goodness and the bigger picture that you have in mind. And so while in many ways I just prayed for us, I do want to also just spend specific time kicking off our prayer time and giving you some time to reflect and process as well. So I want to lead us in that in a couple of different stages. And so I just want you to follow me in this. And so first, Lord, we thank you that you hear us. God, if there's anything going on in our hearts right now where we're frustrated with you, I want to ask that you would bring those things to mind. And so at this point, if you feel that, would you ask God to bring something, bring an area to mind where maybe you're feeling frustrated with who Jesus is? And God, if we've got something going on in our lives where we're feeling disgruntled, we're feeling frustrated, I want to ask that you, by the power of your Spirit, would allow us to release that frustration. Not that we can't ask difficult questions, we certainly can, but to surrender that to you. And Lord, would you give us a conviction and a confidence that you're ultimately good? And so I want you to pray now that to ask God to give you this conviction and this assurance that he is ultimately good, even in the midst of what appears and feels very much like unanswered prayers. And then I want us to pray and ask, Lord, would you reveal to us what your will is? And would you give us a confidence in the promises that you have given us? Would you give us a patience if that's what you need? Lord, would you give us your presence in the midst of our patience? And would that be a great comfort? And so at this point, I want you to pray, Lord, help me to experience your presence. And would that bring to me comfort in the midst of questioning and waiting? Father, we know that you're good. You proved it to us by sending Jesus to live and die in our place. Jesus, thank you for living and dying in our place. Holy Spirit, thank you for indwelling us, broken and sinful as we are. Help us to come to you in all things, with all things. And we pray, Jesus, in your name. Amen.